You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, the podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction.
The world doesn't work the way you think it does. You are not who you think you are. So many people over the years have said to me that they feel as if they are their own worst enemy, that they get in their own way, that they are responsible for their being stuck in a rut in a life that they would love to change. So many people feel and think that they are unable to change their lives. But none of that is true. We are not our own worst enemy. We don't get in our own way. It's only thought that blinds us from the reality of the wonder of how the world really works in the here and now. Thought is the root of all evil. And what's worse, we think that we can think our way out of the way in which thought has got in our own way. People, as a result of thinking that they can think their way out of, they can figure their way out of where they are and how they might change their lives, come up with plans. They come up with strategies. But you need neither plans nor strategies when you take control of your own state of mind. The responsibility, and how indeed people feel wrongly that they are responsible for their being stuck in their own rut. The responsibility that we need to take is responsibility for what is going on between our own two ears. If enough people on this planet took that responsibility seriously, we wouldn't be reading the news that we're reading at the moment. There wouldn't be so much discord in the world. There wouldn't be so much hatred in the world. There wouldn't be so much us and them, mine and yours, in this world. Of course, simply knowing that yourself isn't going to change the world. And indeed, this podcast is not about changing the world at large. It's about changing your world. And that is something that is entirely within your own hands. If you embrace the responsibility of looking after what's going on in your own head and moving beyond the thought that blinds you to the reality of the here and now, and indeed that blinds you to the reality of your own potential. Now, of course, when we do use our minds normally, not only do we think that we are stuck, we think that we have a vast body of evidence that confirms that not only are we stuck, but that we're always going to be stuck. For the simple reason that when we do think that we can think our way out of the conundrum into which we have thought ourselves, we will always fail. For the simple reason that the normal thinking mind operates on automatic pilot. It uses thoughts to enable us to make it through the day, which is not, by the way, the same as living. It's merely only existing. The normal mind uses the same thoughts every day. So even though today is May 8th, 2024, as far as your thinking mind is concerned, if you're operating on automatic pilot, it's May 8th, 4 decades ago, 5 decades ago, back when you learned the thoughts that run on repeat in the form of programs that your automatic pilot uses to enable you make it through the day. Like any automatic pilot, yours is always going to bring you back to the same place if you keep allowing it run the same programs. Let's not get tied up in knots, though, with language. Basically, programs are thoughts. And as I said a minute ago, thought is the root of all evil. What I want to explore in this particular episode is why you don't need plans or strategies. Maybe we'll talk about strategy first, because strategy tends to be the umbrella under which plans are created. And indeed, the two words are practically interchangeable, because people talk to me in the cut and thrust of the conversations that we have with regard to their ordinary everyday lives. They talk about, for example, having strategies to deal with difficult people, having strategies to deal with normal, crazy people, having strategies to move their life forward, having plans, almost the same difference, having plans to move themselves from where they are to where they think they want to be. Now, there's an interesting one, because generally speaking, most people, when they evaluate where they are and how they would like to change their lives, will think that they want to change their lives in a certain way because they see other people more successful or more spontaneous or happier than them, who have this, that, or the other that are kind of the hallmarks of what normal people would consider to be happy and successful people. So therefore, people will generally use their thinking minds to decide where I want to be in 5 years' time. I really had my tongue firmly in my cheek when I said that there. It's an old hoary question that comes from the standard interview. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? And of course, we could all be dead in 5 hours' time, never mind 5 years' time. And nobody using their thinking minds normally can think that they might be somewhere else in 5 years' time. The scenery will change, the cast of characters might have changed, the director of the show might have changed, but you'll still be the same because you'll be using your mind, your thinking mind, in the same way. In other words, as I said a minute ago, it might be 5 years further on, but your thinking mind will still be stuck back in your childhood. The key point I want to make here is you need neither plans nor strategies. Let's look at a couple of practical scenarios. Let's start with one that unfortunately is far more prevalent than it should be, and that is bullying. That could be bullying in the workplace. It could be bullying in the home environment. I come across a lot of that with siblings being manipulated against each other by parents, or indeed other siblings in family situations, where effectively one is bullying all the others or some of the others. And it results in all kind of heartache, all kind of hardship, all kind of sadness, all kind of family breakup. Indeed, I will always make the point that it is easier to deal with difficult situations in the workplace than it is to deal with difficult situations in the family environment. You can resign from your job. Although I do know a few people who resigned from their families as well. Whether that is a good or a bad thing is an entirely different debate that we might have at some point along the way. But let's deal with bullying, and let's deal simply with bullying in the workplace. Let's keep it simple. So many people have asked me, how do I deal with a bully? And my answer is short and sweet and to the point. It needs to be elaborated upon, which I will do now in a moment. But my answer is, you ignore the bully and the bully will go away. A bully isn't trying to impose something on you. A bully is just like a slightly more than normally damaged, normal, crazy person who sees a large black hole when they look in the mirror. Generally speaking, although I am only speaking generally, a bully will have been bullied or put upon as a child. A bully will have a very inferior picture of themselves. A bully will feel that they are missing and lacking. A bully will feel low in self-esteem. Now, in order to fill their half-empty glass, they will look for other people's energy. Now, I need to pause here for a moment to explain something, just in case it isn't something that you've come across in these podcasts before. Even though when you look in the mirror in the morning, you can see the boundaries of your physical being, and the features of your physical being, even though if you feel yourself, you will feel quite solid. Regardless of what you see and what you feel, you are made up of energy. You are vibrating energy. At its most fundamental level, the cells and molecules in your body are made up of vibrating what is known as superstrings of energy. We communicate by either allowing our energy flow or by taking energy from other people. So let's go back to the bully. The bully is suffering from low self-esteem. They want to fill up their half-empty glass. They will go looking for other people's energy because they feel that they are low in energy themselves, because they think badly about themselves. It goes right back to what I said at the start of this episode. You are not who you think. Bullies think badly of themselves and will make themselves think better of themselves by making other people think bad of themselves. The whole bullying dynamic is basically an energy transaction. The bully takes energy from the unwilling victim. If you could decide, I'm not going to allow somebody else take my energy, then the bully will either learn a lesson or go and bully somebody else. Without exception, over the more than 28 years I have been talking to people about this, without exception, anybody who has decided, I'm not going to allow the bully take my energy, has found themselves freed from the bully's influence or the bully's demands, if I can put it like that. How do you ignore a bully? What strategy do you need for dealing with a bully? How will you behave and act when confronted by a bully? What plan of action should I have in place to deal with that? What should I say to a bully? How should I say it to the bully? You don't need to think about any of the foregoing. You don't need to worry about any of that. As I said a few minutes ago, you need neither a plan nor a strategy. Let me give you a simple example. I had a conversation with a client a number of years ago who was having an important meeting with her chief executive. And the chief executive was, I'm not sure if he was a bully or not, but he was one of these people who liked to get his way. And she wanted something specific out of this meeting that she thought she couldn't get. Now, thought, of course, being the bad word in that sentence again. And she said to me, I've invited this guy over for dinner this evening, and I have to have a conversation with him, and I know what outcome I'm looking for, but what am I actually going to say? I said, there's no point in planning for what you might say at 7 o'clock this evening on the basis that at 7:01, your chief executive might say something completely unanticipated. You cannot script a conversation because there's more than one person involved in the conversation that you might attempt to script. So many people over the years have said to me, oh, well, I'll say this. And if he says this, I'll say that. And if he says that, I'll say this. That is not how you achieve anything from the situation in which you find yourself at, in this case, 7 o'clock in the evening. That is allowing your thinking mind think that it can think through what you will need to do to get out of any given situation, or indeed what you might want to get out of your life, for that matter. In other words, if I can put it this way, your thinking mind will lead you to wrongly believe that if you want to get from your current position to a future position, you need to go through a number of particular steps in a particular order. Let me put it in simple language. If you're at A at the moment and you would love to be at H, your thinking mind will plan how you need to take steps B, C, D, E, F, and G to get to H. That's not how the world works. The minute you have that plan in place, things will have changed. It's in the nature of the world that things are changing all of the time. And the minute the ink is dried, or the proverbial ink is dried on your plan, it's worthless because things have changed. You don't need to take actions B, C, D, E, F, and G to get to H if you're starting at A. You need to see yourself at H and allow your doing mind do what it does best. What does it do best? It enables you to do just what you need to do in any and every situation if you are present and you don't have the time to think. What did we say at the beginning of this episode? Thought is the root of all evil. In evolutionary times, and I may be repeating myself here, but it is worth repeating. In evolutionary times, were I to be confronted by a man or woman eating beast when out hunting for tonight's dinner, I would escape from that situation because I didn't have time to think about it. I simply did what I needed to do, because in that situation, in that life-threatening situation, my mind is designed to do just that. You can use the same technology, the same neural pathways in the brain that you already have to enable you to do what you need to do in any situation to get what you want out of any or every situation. So I said to my friend when she asked me, what will I say to this guy at 7 o'clock this evening? I said, what do you want out of the conversation? She said, I know exactly what I want out of the conversation. I said, you need to imagine how great it'll feel when he leaves the house this evening, having got what you want. I said, you need to write that down. Now, we've talked before about the science behind handwriting what you want as if you already have it, so I'm not going to go into that at this stage either. On the other hand, I do have a free online training program at the moment that does go into that in more detail. And if you're interested in that, you can sign up using the link in your podcast player right now, or when you're finished listening to this episode. I said, you need to have the outcome set in what I would describe as your doing brain, the part of the brain that I mentioned a minute ago that will get you out of harm's way in a life-threatening situation. And then all you need to do is turn up. Because when you turn up to the here and now, you will know exactly what is going on, and you will know exactly what to say and do, given that you do have a firm handle on what is actually going on. You turn up to the here and now by training your mind to experience what it is like to be present. Now, if you're using your mind normally, you're never going to experience what it feels like to be present, because what your senses are currently telling you gets lost in the fog of normal everyday thought. We train our minds to experience what it is like to be present by meditating. Meditating will enable you to take thought out of your experience of everyday life. As a result of training yourself through meditation, the parts of your brain that would normally only enable you to do just what you need to do without thinking about it, to survive a life-threatening situation, will be available to you in any and every here and now to enable you to do just what you need to do in any situation. The brain was designed as a result of evolution so that those parts of the brain would only operate in life-threatening situations. Those parts of the brain would spring into action without giving us time to let thought get in our way, delay our action, and end up dead. Meditation allows these parts of the brain become engaged in every aspect of our everyday life. Because when we meditate regularly, these parts of the brain are restructured and communicate with themselves in a way that they never could in the normal thinking brain. Meditation will give you a brain that is different in shape, structure, and functionality than the brain of somebody who doesn't meditate. In real action, everyday living terms. That means you will be able to do what you need to do without thinking about it. You won't be second guessing yourself. You won't be getting in your own way. You won't think that you are your own worst enemy. You'll simply do and say what you need to do as the circumstances require. As I said to this particular lady, at 7 o'clock this evening, or between 7 and 9, or however long the conversation takes, you will dance through that conversation like a ballerina, saying just what you need to say, pushing the buttons and pulling the levers that will enable you arrive at the point when he walks out of your house later on that evening, where you will actually be able to say to yourself, "Yoo-hoo, I got exactly what I wanted, and boy, does that feel good." She said to me afterwards, "I said things that I thought I'd never say to him." Do you hear what I've just said? That she thought she would never say to him. She said, "I said things that I thought I couldn't get away with saying." Again, she only thought that. She said, "I surprised myself. I amazed myself. As somebody else said to me in a similar situation, I super surprised myself." We only surprise ourselves because suddenly we find ourselves doing what we thought we couldn't do, or saying what we thought we couldn't get away with. We don't need to plan in advance to do that, because we don't know in advance the situation in which we're going to find ourselves in advance. Life is lived in nows, and you don't know what the now, 10 minutes from now, will be like until you actually get there. So you need to get there, you need to turn up fully, you need to be present, so that when you arrive in that now, you know exactly what you need to do and what you need to say. We need to discard the ideas that we have about how we need plans, how we need strategies. Let's move on to a more general problem that most of us on this journey encounter every day. You might say to yourself, hold on, if you're on this adventure of living your life to the full, how would you encounter problems every day? But the fact is that 96% of people are thinking their way through their day. 96% of people are not in charge of what's going on in their own heads. 96% of people don't even know that they could take responsibility for what is going on between their two ears, and as a result of taking that responsibility, change their lives. 96% of people are unaware, and they are unaware that they are unaware. Terrible. As a result of that, 96% of people don't know how to behave themselves, don't know what to say, don't know what to do, don't know what steps they need to take to change their lives, think they might have a strategy for doing it, but because they are using their thinking minds on automatic pilot, they're always, as we said a few minutes ago, going to end up in the same place. You, as a person on this journey, are going to be surrounded by crazy people most moments of every day. And those people are clawing at us to come back into the fold of madness. You must remember, in evolutionary times, it was dangerous to be beyond the herd. Nowadays, people who are different are frowned upon by most of these normal crazy people. Indeed, many of the people with whom I've worked have discovered that the so-called friends that they thought they had were only members of the same tribe who were sticking together because it was normal to stick together, regardless of how meaningless it actually was in their everyday lives. Now, that might sound a little bit smug, but in reality, what I'm saying is simply a statement of scientific fact. You are surrounded by normal, crazy people. From time to time, we're all normal, crazy people. And you know, when we do slip, the challenge that we have to set for ourselves is, how long am I going to remain on my backside having slipped on the proverbial banana skin? Somebody said to me a few months ago that they had a bad day. The individual in question said, "I had a bad Wednesday and I didn't really recover from it till Friday." I said, "Well, more fool you. If you had a bad moment on Wednesday, it should have only been a bad moment, because you could have taken the opportunity to choose to regain control of your own state of mind. Normal people will drag us back into their dramas. That's what normal people want us to do. They want us to be involved in their dramas because it makes them feel better about themselves, when in reality, they don't need to feel better about themselves because there was nothing wrong with them in the first place. We're back to the way in which we were educated to believe that we were in need of bettering ourselves. Normal crazy people will come at you from all directions. They'll cut in front of you in traffic on the road. Another normal crazy people will go mad and shout and scream and toot their horns or get out of their cars and beat the living daylights out of each other. It's only a few years ago that two 64-year-olds had a fight in a supermarket car park. They were fighting over a particular parking space when there were a load of other parking spaces available a little further away. One of them hit the other. The other individual fell, hit his head, died, and the 64-year-old who had lost his head ended up in jail. It is a slightly extreme, but not unusual, example of how normal crazy people will lose the head with each other for the simple reason that they've lost their own head in the first place. We're surrounded by this mad behavior all of the time. You'll go into work and immediately you'll have normal crazy people arranging meetings for you without asking you. You will have normal crazy people sucking the living daylights out of you in meetings or in conversations where they are literally draining you dry. My wife calls them the energy vampires. And we all know people in whose company, or after a half an hour in whose company, we are only fit for a lie down. You don't need to be that person. You are listening to a podcast here where we are learning how to be present, where we are learning how to leave our thoughts behind, where we are learning how to experience the reality of the here and now through developing our ability to experience how it feels to be in the here and now, that training being meditating. You are listening to a podcast where we learn how to come into the present moment and take right action to lead us in the direction that is best for us. No longer are we standing at A, wishing that we were at H and thinking that we needed a plan to get there. We are standing wherever we're standing in the moment, right here and now. And in this moment, right here and now, all is well. We are standing wherever we're standing in this moment, right here and now, feeling what it is like to flow and allow our energy flow in the present moment, knowing that whatever I do in this present moment won't bring me to H, because H is what my thinking mind would have thought I wanted out of life. What I will do in the here and now as a result of being present will bring me all good things, will bring me what is best for me. People often struggle with trying to figure out what they want out of life. Figuring out, as we said a few minutes ago, is a thought-based exercise, and you're never going to figure out what you want out of life using your thinking mind. The inner you, the real you, that doesn't need to be bettered, the person that you really are, the person that you discover when you stop thinking, as a result of experiencing what it feels like to be present through meditation, the person that you really are knows what is best for you and knows how you can get there. All you need to do is let the person who knows do their thing. Simple as that. This is so, so simple. We don't need to wonder about the future. Wondering about the future generally leads to worrying about the future. We don't need to allow our thinking mind run ahead of us. We don't need to allow our thinking mind come up with strategies and plans to enable us to take the steps that it thinks we need to take to move to a place that it thinks we want. We don't need our thinking mind at all. We need to be We need to allow our being mind and our doing mind take us by the hand and lead us on an adventure that is a life of self-discovery and a discovery of all good things that, when you let it, will simply fall into your lap. Now, that is a quote from a number of online program owners. Oh, things just fell into my lap. Or another way in which they have of expressing how wonderfully effortless life is when you are present and in flow. Oh, things just felt like they happened. Now, of course, nothing just happens. Nothing falls into your lap. What happens is all good things flow to you because you, as a result of being present, are doing the right things and saying the right things in the right way at the right time. You're surprising yourself. You're amazing yourself. You're super surprising yourself. What do you need to do now to allow all this happen for you? Well, right now, you need to take a couple of nice, long, slow, deep breaths with me. And you need to experience what they feel like. Tomorrow morning, you need to sit down and meditate. If you only have a few minutes, well, a few minutes are better than no minutes. The interesting thing is that the longer you meditate for, and by that I mean the duration. First of all, from a durational point of view, the longer you meditate for, the deeper you will experience the reality of the here and now. You also need to meditate regularly, most days, preferably every day, but nobody meditates every day. So there's no merit in setting yourself up for failure by saying, I'll meditate every day, and then getting annoyed with yourself when you miss a day. We need to meditate regularly. We need to meditate properly. We need to allow our meditation, allow us how it feels to experience the reality of the here and now. And we need to allow our regular meditation, restructure our brain so we do take that evolutionary quantum leap and change our lives, and change our lives effortlessly. You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-horton.com.